across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Wednesday, February 28th, 2024, and it's a beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the frozen tundra where the Civic Media Radio Network broadcasts on radio, through the app, through social media, by podcast. Nice to have you here. However you are getting here and joining us in the comment sections, things like that. Like, here's Mary saying good morning from Wanakee on one of our Facebook pages. Thank you, Mary. And good morning to you. Hope you're battening down the hatches with the wind just howling the way that it is out there, anywhere from 25 to 35 miles an hour out of the northwest. Here on Lake Wissota, we've got a temperature of 7 degrees, and the wind chill is 12 below. You can tell us what the conditions are like where you are by calling or texting us. We've got a brand new number, 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. Use that text message app or use the Civic Media app. Send us a text. Tell us where you are and what it's like out by you. And ask Mary Howard things in Wanakee. And she puts back on Facebook, just cold with, what is that, Greg? 5 exclamation points, I believe, at the end of that. So
that's definitely a fiver there, Pat. A fiver means it's super cold.
Hey, how are you this morning?
I am.
It's not 55. I know that much about where you are.
No, it is not. It is somehow 30 degrees colder now. And yesterday it was 72, like when I got home. And I know that in 24 hours it's going to go right back to where it was. But it's those little reminders. It's like, you're still in Wisconsin.
There's that old joke about summer when you go, here in the Midwest, summer came on a weekend this year. We were lucky, but we can literally say that about winter. Like, winter was on a Wednesday back in late February. And we're going to be right back into the 60s, pushing 70, for the weekend here. But, I mean, look at these temperatures. I said, 7 here in Chippewa Falls, 2 in Hayward. Park Falls, listeners to 98Q Country, they got 4 degrees right now. Bull Falls Radio listeners in Wausau, it's 10. Green Bay, 18. La Crosse, 11. Wisconsin Rapids, 11. Oshkosh is at 16 degrees, 14 in Madison, and 19 there in Waukesha. Kenosha, hanging in there at 30. A little warmer thanks to the lake there. But I know that you were risking like some stormy weather down there yesterday, too. This is quite the powerful system all throughout the middle of the country. So I'll be glad when it moves on. Yeah. I'm ready to get back to the warmth.
Me too.
I could definitely go for that.
Sorry, the Earth.
Sorry, planet Earth. Let me tell you what's coming up this morning. This is a bad climate for responsible members of the Republican Party who want to take climate seriously. Melissa Baldoff has our climate check, and we're going to talk about how, despite a bluster of denialists, there are plenty of Republicans who understand the science of a changing climate, and they also see the economic opportunities in a cleaner and greener economy. But just as their numbers are starting to grow to respectable levels, including in Congress, along comes Donald Trump, who is now not only a danger to the environment, but a danger to his party's prospects in November, as more Republicans actually want to do something about this extreme climate that we're enduring right now. In our second hour, we'll be our usual homeroom segment, and this is Wisconsin Public Schools Week. We'll talk about the value that our hometown schools bring to our communities and the growing threat as politicians continue to suck our tax dollars out of local public schools to subsidize private schools with no better track record or accountability. And so Christian Phelps from the Wisconsin Public Education Network will be here to talk about that as well. On the text line from Lake Geneva, 17 degrees with a wind chill of 3, and the wind is howling. Yes, it sure is. I could hear it all night out there because, again, a man of my age gets up once or twice during the night and thinking, okay, has it settled down? And then you hear this, it's like, nope, still roaring out there.
Then you're like, I have to pee.
Yes.
Darn it.
And it was, darn it. And then, of course, if you can't get right back to sleep, if you have a distraction, say the wind howling, you know, through the trees in your yard, it takes a while to fall back asleep, you know, it's a little slower start to the day, but we will get there. We've got a lot to talk about, you know. I'll tell you what, though, let's start with this. Let's start about an article that I just worked on for the newsletter, and it goes like this. It starts by saying, as the judges lifted each glass to their lips, their eyes took note of the color and clarity, their noses evaluated the bouquet, and we can't forget the taste, perhaps the most important factor of all. And once the scoring was complete, a winner was declared. Congratulations, Columbus, Wisconsin. You have the best tasting drinking water in the United States.
What?
Hold for applause. Yeah, exactly.
Hold on.
It was part of the... Oh, okay. We got that. Columbus, Wisconsin has the best tasting drinking water in the United States. We know this because the 25th annual Great American Water Taste Test took place earlier this month in Washington, D.C., at the annual gathering of the National Rural Water Association. Each state holds its own contest to determine which community's water will be judged. And Columbus Utilities was founded in 1896. Their water was judged to be the best in Wisconsin last April, and that put them up into this national contest earlier this month. So congratulations to Jake Tanner, the lead water operator for Columbus Utilities, for having the best tasting drinking water that's out there. And again, that's no small feat. I can't tell you how many times I've gone on this soapbox rant about when people talk about, you know, taxes and government waste. I'm like, have you ever been to a water treatment plant or a wastewater treatment plant and seen the work that goes into it? Do you want to go shortchange that? Good luck turning on your tap then, pal, you know?
I used to work in Racine, and we actually won best drinking water at a conference as well. And we got a lot of attention for it too. It's a big deal because our water treatment plant was some of the best in the world. And yeah, there's no way we would have cut, especially being so close to Milwaukee, and Cryptosporidium in the '90s and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, very important stuff. Chippewa Falls. We always talk about having some of the best, you know, tasting water out there. A lot of it because of the, you know, the hint of Leinenkugel's light that we put in there as well. Oh. Just a little hometown feel, you know. To
this tastes like this summer shandy.
Yeah, I should be so lucky. I need that extra tap in my kitchen. That would be very helpful. Look, water, it's fun to joke about, but you know, we don't live in the Southwest or some of these other places where, I mean, they're almost literally dying for enough drinking water, and the day may come where that becomes more of a literal phrase. So I really tip my cap to the folks in Columbus and all the people who not just work on the drinking water systems in all of our communities, but frankly now are trying to get, you know, PFAS contaminants and other things out of that. We're not making their jobs any easier to make sure that we have clean water.
You would think those things would be easy. Like clean drinking water. We can all come together on that, right?
No, apparently we can't, because Governor Evers again yesterday urged the legislature, even though the assembly says it's done for the year, is urging the legislature to again come together and spend some money that they've already allocated. We've gone through this before. They've approved the money in the budget, but they won't approve actually spending the money, because they've added this extra step that someday is going to be thrown out by a court. And so all that money that they said they allocated or set aside to take care of PFAS contamination, they still haven't, because they're attaching strings that would essentially let any of the original polluters off the hook. They're hiding behind, you know, the line of, well, we don't want any innocent landowners, you know, to get penalized on this. It's pollution protection.
Yeah.
Let's just call it what it is. It's absolutely shameful, and it is indefensible. And they really need to get off their butts and get that plan into effect before before we have your truly, I mean, not this, this is a serious problem. It's only going to get worse with inaction.
I honestly have no words because I can't put into, the thought of like saying, well, clean drinking water. That's a controversial topic. That's a, we'll have to study that more. When we come back next year, we got to take a break. We got to take a 10-month break.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they're doing by and large is taking this 10-month break. Let's take a look at sports now as we come up on 6:17 here. The Milwaukee Bucks apparently just needed the All-Star break to discover how to play winning basketball under new head coach Doc Rivers. Giannis had 24 points last night, Damian Lillard 23, Bobby Portis 21 as the Bucks pounded the Charlotte Hornets 123-85. For their most lopsided victory of the season, they were up nearly 50 points at one point in the game. Milwaukee has won three straight since the All-Star break. They're now 6-7 since Doc Rivers' arrival. The Bucks have given up fewer than 100 points in four of their last seven games. After having that happen only once in the first 52 games of the season, have they finally learned to play some defense? The answer appears to be yes. Up next, they play the Hornets again, this time in Charlotte tomorrow. Then they're off to Chicago to play the Bulls on Friday. You can hear tomorrow night's game in Charlotte on several Civic Media radio stations, including Oshkosh Air Support, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. Meanwhile, going in the opposite direction is the Badger men's basketball team, which lost at Indiana 74-70. They next return home to play 13th-ranked Illinois coming up on Saturday. And then the Marquette men's basketball team, fifth-ranked in the nation, they will host Providence tonight. 6 o'clock is the tip-off. It's nationally televised on FS1 as well. So there you're caught up on some of your sports. And when we return in just a bit, we're going to tell you what's in the daily newsletter from Up North News, what's on our website, what's in social media, and start to unpack the news on this Wednesday morning, February 28th. But remember, you can get what we're doing anytime over on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And for unabashedly Wisconsin news, you can get our newsletter. Click newsletter in the banner on top of our homepage. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this windy and really cold morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy birthday to Pat Monahan, who is 55 years old today, lead singer of Train. And we'll have much more in today's history lesson coming up in just about a half hour here. Coming up on the Up North News website, we have on there a story. Boy, it is early and cold, isn't it? About bringing back actual health education to schools, something that used to exist before Scott Walker and Republicans scrapped it, made sex ed basically optional, and that it has to be rooted in a just say no approach, which works about as well as you'd expect it to with teens who have questions and who need information rather than lectures. So look for that article on our website. In our newsletter, last call for your votes on some of the best food and other places around Madison. You'll recall we talked to Christina Lurie about this a couple of weeks back, that we're working on a guide to Wisconsin's best food, drink, other things. And what better place to start than in the state capitol, where not everybody lives there, but a lot of people visit there. So if you've got favorite places, head over to our Facebook page and learn how to vote for your favorite Madison restaurant across a dozen categories. But you got to do it before March 1st. Now, lucky you, there's an extra day before March 1st. You got all of tomorrow, February 29th. Also in the newsletter, how a right-wing group has created a blueprint for a second Trump presidency and how that would include a national abortion ban. And finally, I was looking on the Facebook page just now, and there are places where you can take a yoga and meditation retreat in Wisconsin. Greg, we're going to talk to Todd Alba in just a bit here. And I heard you guys, I was listening to last week's show when Todd was filling in. And you guys are like, did you describe yourselves as bowling rats, basically, that you know, grew up doing a lot of bowling?
I grew up, I played in leagues from the age of 5 until I was nearly 18.
Yeah, so I mean, you guys talked about maybe even doing a show from a bowling alley.
Oh, I'd love to do that. I would be in heaven. I love bowling, but it cannot be like pins or stripes. It's got to be like, you know, Kaharski's Bowl and Brew. Like, it's got to be like,
oh yes,
tavern with a bowling alley.
Exactly. Here in Eau Claire, there was, for the longest time, it was Wagner's 66 and a half lanes. And that was always like the little, you know, kitschy thing at the end was like a lane that was cut right down the middle, you know,
only
half of the pins were there. 66 and a half lane. It started with a smaller number, and as they kept growing the place, they kept the half a lane. But you talked about doing the show there. But when I was looking at the social media stories right now, for Up North News, places where you can take a yoga and meditation retreat in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
If offered, would you take a yoga meditation retreat?
In a heartbeat.
Would you?
Yeah.
I just talked about spending a week, you know, doing nothing, you know, on vacation.
Yeah.
But there was always a little bit of something. But, and I think we talked about this with Dr. Lyerly on air, that I don't get meditation. There would always be this smart alecky voice, you know, in there going, ha, ha, you're not relaxing. Ha, are you relaxing now? Are you relaxing now? Are you relaxing now? I don't know how people quiet that down.
I got a question for you then, to quote the great prophet Kreitlow. why can't you be good to yourself? I'm serious.
But
why would you not be able to sit in a space? Now, here's the thing is, people train for years to quiet that voice down. That's not unusual. Yeah. Like, you don't just sit down and you're like, I'm at one. No, you gotta like, all right, you're like, I'm quiet. Oh, I need to go to the market later. Nope, put that away. But you know, you gotta really work hard to get rid of those. But if you just take the opportunity and really, I mean, even meditation doesn't also have to be an hour. It can be 5 minutes. It can be just giving yourself peace for a few moments.
My wife has mentioned there's an app called Headspace.
Yes.
That she likes. And I have not given it a fair shake in the two or three times that I've tried it. It's like, I've talked about my hammock in the backyard. I love having a hammock in the backyard right along the lake. I consider it a torture device now, wrongly so, I admit. Because I'm not in that thing 60 seconds before I'm thinking, oh, I really should be doing this, or I should be mowing the lawn, or I should be, you know, this or that, and can't just, you know. So it took me an entire week last week, you know, on a beach, which, again, getting up and down, going to get some food or drink or whatnot. So folks who can just flat out meditate like that, I am not in any way deriding it, you know, or doubting it. I'm just saying, I would be terrible at it. I would need a lot of
practice,
supervision, I guess. Yeah, maybe somebody with a large stick that could knock me unconscious
if you spoke to people who meditated, you would find that they know exactly what you're talking about, and they work diligently to try to calm those voices. And you know, that speaks a lot as far as the hammock. I know what you feel. I know what you mean, because I get home sometimes at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I have the rest of the day and I feel like I should be working, but I just got done working a full shift.
Yeah. Yep. And that's the thing. I've got to stop filling that void always with, well, there's always one more thing I can do for work or for, you know, around the house or anything like that. But, you know, enough of my whining, because that just spreads. Here's that word. That just spreads bad vibes. And that leads me to talking about the Vibes Only podcast, which will be probably coming out later tonight. Thank you for the good vibes there. And though there will be a new edition out with Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar, and they talk all about some of the issues that are in the presidential race and all the other elections. They talk about, you know, in terms of the vibe when they talk about the economy and democracy. A lot of that is based on misinformation that is being spread out there. And so they cut through all of that. And so wherever you get your podcasts, look for the Vibes Only podcast or look for it over at couriernewsroom.com and learn a bit more about that. We have plenty more to talk about this week as well. We have Joe Zepecki tomorrow along with Kristen Lyerly. Her Women Win Wisconsin segment is going to connect us with Julie Hancock of the New Blue Pack for Northeast Wisconsin to get women more involved either in running for office or otherwise supporting change in the 8th Congressional District up there in Northeast Wisconsin. In other headlines today, Republicans say they are most likely going to appeal a ruling from last month that is allowing Megan Wolf to stay in her job as administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You'll recall that even though her term has expired, she is there because of a precedent that was set by Republican lawmakers when they had Fred Prehn hold over on the Natural Resources Board. So they liked it when it worked for them, when they found a loophole. Now that it's being used with Megan Wolf and the Elections Commission, they asked a court to, you know, say that, nope, she no longer has a job. The court said, you guys did this. So yeah, she's still in a job. Anyway, they're going to appeal it and keep up this effort to appear to be trying to fire a nationally recognized, fair, and impartial administrator of Wisconsin elections. Again, in my mind, not really a great look. And we'll talk more about things that aren't a great look for Republicans in the way of climate change in our Climate Check update. That's coming up with Melissa Baldoff right after Pam Yonke's Midwest Farm Report. You're listening to Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're back now on Up North News Radio. It's time for our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. And you're going to hear some parallels between today's topic and something we've discussed quite a bit in the news recently. Remember that bipartisan border security bill that was making great progress until Donald Trump didn't want it to? Well, there's something to be said about the climate crisis as well about this, and that's kind of Melissa, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. And I think you just kind of really nailed something there generally. Remember that thing that was going great until Donald Trump?
Right. And in this case, it is once again, something that would be bipartisan. Now, Look, we talk a lot about the opposition to taking action on climate change or the outright denial, Ron Johnson, and others. But the fact of the matter is, before we even get into what Trump did, let's go ahead and be fair, because again, this is an area that you work in. This is a subject area you work in. Of course, there are Republicans out there who understand the science, who take it seriously and would like to do some, doesn't mean they agree with every Democrat, but there are definitely Republicans who want to work on this issue, right?
Absolutely. I think that is, you know, we're seeing that at the federal level. We've seen that in Wisconsin. We've seen it in other states, that there are Republicans who, first off, you know, bare minimum, acknowledge that climate change is real and it is a problem. And they know that it's important to address. They know that it's affecting not just the environment, but our health, our economy, you know, so many things. We've seen it affect tourism in Wisconsin, our recreation. We've talked about so many things that it affects, and they are not blind to that. And they are, you know, saying that they want to raise their hand and be a part of some kind of solution. Like you said, they might not be ready to go as far as, not just Democrats are saying, but as far as the scientists are saying we need to go. But if we have people who want to be a part of the solution, I think it's great and they should be welcomed in and we should let them get to work. You know, that's something that we should, I don't want to say applaud. You don't want to, you know, cheerlead too hard for people doing the bare minimum, but you know, with how unfortunately divisive this issue has been and the long track record of so many Republicans, like Senator Ron Johnson, like you said, just outright denying the science. The fact that we've got people who want to be on the right, who want to be involved in the solution, is a good thing. And they would be, you know, we should welcome their voices into this.
Their progress. And it would start in the case of House Republicans with Utah Republican Representative John Curtis. He is the chair. He is the founder of the Conservative Climate Caucus. And there are, at last count, 82 members, which surprised me, to be honest. I mean, I know there are Republicans who take the issue seriously, but I would not have guessed that there were 82 out of, you know, just over 200 House Republicans that are a member, a part of this caucus. And, you know, the congressman would tell you, you know, that it's not just a climate issue. It is a jobs. It's an economic issue and so forth. And then we get to Donald Trump, who, right, you know, as political journalists are starting to write, may be about to do to climate advocate Republicans what he's done to Republicans who wanted a bipartisan deal on the border. And I mean, this isn't just pausing progress. I mean, Trump literally wants to roll back progress the country's made.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing before we get into what Donald Trump and a, you know, second Trump presidency, how disastrous that would be for climate and, you know, a whole lot of other things. I'd have to point out, when I was looking over the membership of the Conservative Climate Caucus, I was surprised, like you, to see so many people, but I was not surprised to see a couple of names missing, like radical Derek Van Orden and Tom Tiffany. I couldn't help but notice not members of the Conservative Climate Caucus. So that was, not surprising, which, but it's always
to them as a badge of honor to be aligned with President, former Absolutely. President Trump, and whatever it is that Trump would do if he got back in.
Whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. Whatever it is he would do, you know, it's like he already spent a first term pulling us out of the Paris Climate Agreement, rolling back environmental regulations and protections, you know, drill, baby, drill. And we know that he wants to, if he were to get another term, that he wants to build on that. He wants to go so much further in rolling back, what has been accomplished under President Joe Biden and Democratic leadership.
So that would include things that even Republicans have appreciated or supported. For example, the clean energy tax credits that were contained in the Inflation Reduction Act. And Politico writes about these clean energy tax credits, saying that they are contributing to major green jobs booms around the country, including Republican-held districts, and yet Trump wants to eliminate these clean energy tax credits. He promised this past fall to slash incentives around electric vehicle production. In fact, his quote was, "You can be loyal to American labor or you can be loyal to the environmental lunatics," which is, it's wrong on so many multiple levels. And we haven't even started to talk about what Trump would do if, the far right conservative line of thinking essentially guts the Environmental Protection Agency and others that would help reduce the air pollution that we have to deal with in this country.
Right. And I mean, and I think that's what, you know, again, one of the many dangers of Donald Trump is that he doesn't care about the science. He doesn't care about what's happening. He cares about himself and the people that he thinks are with him and that he can enrich. You know, he's said in the past that he thinks he didn't go far enough undermining protections for our environment and rolling back climate progress in his first term. And he would be much like he's saying, Putin can do whatever he wants. I think he feels like the polluters can do whatever they want, so long as he is remaining in power and he has the potential to enrich himself personally.
Oh yeah, that's always been a part of it there. You know, the this particular story notes, you know, a growing number of Republicans embrace a policy that would compel foreign trade partners to pay tariffs on the carbon intensity of certain imported industrial goods. There is also, we mentioned some of the tax credits before, there is a carbon capture tax credit that a lot of Republicans support because it could allow fossil fuel burning plants to remain active while reducing their emissions, and more. So, I mean, there are real concerns among Republicans, not just that it's going to hurt them from an economic standpoint, but you know the polling better than I do in terms of public support for doing something. I can't imagine there's a lot of public support for actually going backwards.
Absolutely not. You know, that's, you know, we see over and over in polling that people support clean air and clean water. That is at the top of the list for most people in terms of concern, that they are very concerned about clean air and clean water. So that's something that, you know, everyone's going to be worried about if we're talking about rollbacks. And also, like you said, though, there is the economic concern, there are the jobs concerns. And, you know, you're seeing in the same, the Politico article you referenced, you know, talking about a major development in one of the districts for one of these representatives, Representative Buddy Carter in Georgia, who's the vice chair of the committee, the Conservative Climate Caucus, talking about a $7.6 billion investment in his district for an electric vehicle production plant by Hyundai, 8,000 jobs, and the manufacturer said this is all thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. So, you know, it's, the investments are everywhere, and you know, there will be, I think, a lot of blowback if this is rolled back.
And I should note that when Republican Congressman John Curtis of Utah helped form the Conservative Climate Caucus, a prerequisite for joining the group is acknowledging human contributions to climate change. So this is not just all dollars and cents, you know, by any stretch. And they're actually leaning into this to some degree. For example, part of the reason Ohio far-right Republican Jim Jordan didn't get enough support to become Speaker of the House last year was partly because he repeatedly voted against relief funding for natural disasters, which are exacerbated by a changing climate. And far too many people watched Jim Jordan vote no when their area got decimated by, you know, by storms and other natural disasters. So it's clear that climate issues have a nonpartisan or a bipartisan toehold in this Congress. The article goes on to say that this particular, you know, Conservative Climate Caucus, like every other group, can take advantage of the fact that Republicans have the tiniest of majorities and say, look, you're going to have to play with us if you want our support. Unfortunately, Melissa, from what we've seen of the Republican caucus, I don't know that that alone is going to be enough to prevent something like, say, a government shutdown by the end of this week, which would, again, continue to roll back progress that we're making on job creation.
Yeah, it absolutely could. And, you know, I think that we've seen time and again with the Republicans in charge here and who are in Congress that they a majority of them are willing to do whatever it takes to advance their agenda. They will shut down the government. They will do harm. They will ignore every problem, you know, like you heard people say about, many of them say about the bipartisan immigration deal. You know, they don't want to take a vote. They don't want to solve the problem. They want it to be Joe Biden's problem come November. They want to have to blame it on him. And I think that they are willing to let bad things happen, many of them, so they can blame it on Democrats. And, you know, I think for many of them that climate crisis, they would jump on board with that too. The same ones who have denied that it's a problem, I think would be very happy to blame it on Democrats for not getting anything done.
So to bring this all in for a landing here. When you mentioned, for example, Derek Van Orden's going to be in one of the most closely watched races, not only in Wisconsin, but in the country. So people listening in and around the 3rd District, what should they be looking for from Derek Van Orden versus whichever Democrat comes out of the primary this summer?
Well, I mean, I think that you're going to see all of the Democrats who are running are very strong when it comes to climate and clean energy issues. And, you know, some of them, you know, like Representative Shankland, have a, you know, strong record of getting things done in the legislature as well. But all the Democrats that are running, anybody who comes out of that race is going to be an advocate for the Inflation Reduction Act, for climate action, for a clean economy, for protecting our agricultural industry, protecting rural communities. And the contrast, I think, really is when you look to Derek Van Orden, is he's done nothing. You know, he is refusing to acknowledge, you know, the problem, and he's also doing nothing. I think he's been incredibly ineffective in Congress, unless you view effectiveness and rate that by, you know, how many children he screams at. If that's the metric, he's doing pretty well.
Well, I'm looking at his website, his campaign website right now, and still under farming and agriculture, and he's on the House Agriculture Committee, we're talking maybe 50 to 60 words total about farming is important to the 3rd District, and he'll be a leading voice for the dairy industry, and virtually nothing about, you know, climate or anything else in there. So he's going to have to beef up that website pretty soon if he wants to be taken seriously on this particular issue, which we've learned all about once again from Melissa Baldoff in this week's Climate Check Report. Melissa, thank you so much. Appreciate it as always. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Back, Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, with today's history lesson. Up next, you're up north.
Exciting and new.
Okay. Come aboard.
We're expecting you.
Yeah, I know the words, so I guess. No.
Wow. Okay. Look, every one of us of a certain age was a babysitter, and you got the kids to bed just before Love Boat and then Fantasy Island, because that was the only thing on TV back in that day. And this is the anniversary of the birth of Captain Steubing himself, Gavin McLeod, born on this day in 1931, passed away 3 years ago. And it brings up the Love Boat theme as we welcome in Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. How are you?
Good. Oh, I'm good. I'm in studio today.
I was going to say, look at you.
Yeah, look at you. You look like a radio broadcaster of some sort.
Of some sort.
You always look like a radio broadcaster, Melissa.
Aw, thanks, Greg.
Yeah!
You win this one. What's happening in WFHR land?
Well, today, exciting, we have the Allison Dairyland is joining us during our morning show this morning. Yes, Ashley Hagenow, I believe is her name this year. Mm-hmm. I call them all Alice.
Yeah, they're all Alice.
But she's going to join us to talk about potatoes in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, potatoes. And
if I heard Pam Yonke correctly, I think she said she was heading up to Door County, and that must be where they're crowning a new Alice this weekend.
Yes, that's happening. Okay. Yeah, I was looking at that information this morning. I was going to report on it. They are announcing a new one on Friday, March something. I don't know. I can't see my window. It's not big enough. March 1st.
Okay. So this weekend, yeah. Mm-hmm. It reminds me, I don't know if I've told this story yet on air, but of an Alice that was completely unexpected to us. And one day our morning anchor couldn't appear. She kind of called in, said I can't be on, and it was on that show where when the news came down that the previous night she had been named the new Alice in Dairyland, and none of us knew that she was up for the honor,
that she was even running. Yeah, they're announcing the top candidates on Friday.
Gotcha. Okay, sounds good. Look, did you see the Super Bowl? Did you see the halftime show with Usher?
No,
you did not. Okay,
I did not bother.
Look, there is Usher has a lot of good songs. I liked the show a lot. There's one song everybody knows by Usher, and I couldn't believe it, but it was the number one song 20 years ago today.
Peace up, A-Town Dad.
Yeah. I have never heard this song.
What?
Oh, Melissa, you're... Oh, Melissa.
Have you met me, Greg? I'm gullible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, by Usher with Ludacris and Little John hit number one on this day in 2004.
I love hearing you say Usher with Ludacris and Little John.
Ludacris and Little John. There's just no other way. There's no other way that's going to come out and sound. It's going to sound less credible if I try too hard. You know what I mean? Anyway, it was the number one song for 12 weeks.
Jeez.
The biggest hit of 2004. All right.
I recognize the song, but I didn't know it was Usher.
Ah, okay. There you go.
It's pronounced Usher.
Yeah, Usher. On this day in 1983, the final episode of MASH, Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, aired on CBS. I know. Greg's already fanning himself. It was a 2.5-hour finale. 121 and a half million viewers, the highest viewership of any TV broadcast for nearly 30 years until a Super Bowl overtook it. 121.6 million viewers. Melissa Kay was not one of them.
No, I was one.
Yeah, see. But, yeah, right.
I can't say anything. I was three.
But you've seen it, which is why you're already fanning yourself. Have you ever seen it in syndication?
I don't think
or anything?
So.
Have you ever heard of MASH?
Yes, I've heard of MASH. I've watched some episodes.
Okay. For those
folks
that
just like to read books, Greg.
For those folks that do remember, it is giving all the feels right now.
I mean, it's
wonderfully written. Do you mind if I pronounce the name of this next group, Flo Rida?
Please.
Is that all right for you?
Never stop.
Flo Rida
began
a 6-week run at number one on this day in 2009, along with a then unknown singer named Kesha. All right, so there you go. Number one song this day in 2009. Yesterday, we said that it was on that day in 1980 that Michael Jackson won a Grammy for Don't Stop Till You Get Enough. It brought up a very controversial opinion by Greg Bach. Now it turns out that on this day, 40 years ago in 1984, Michael Jackson won 8 Grammys, including Album of the Year for Thriller. So, Greg, I guess I would again say Thriller, greater or less than, off the wall.
Less than.
Less than. Melissa Kay, where do you come down on Michael Jackson albums?
She loves books.
I do. I would take books over Michael Jackson any day of the week.
All right, let's move on. Jason Aldean, country singer, is 48 years old today. Cindy Wilson from the B-52s. She's the blonde of the two. Kate Pearson was the redhead. Cindy Wilson is 67. Here they are on Rome. Yeah, another one of my favorites. It's one where you would, you know, roll down the windows in the summer and just blast that baby.
Their first two records are required listening for anyone who thinks they like music.
For anyone who thinks they like music.
Their
like
first two records are mind-blowing.
I know. Well, you know, it is what it is. Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water topped the singles chart for 6 weeks starting this day in 1970. Pope Benedict resigned on this day in 2013, becoming the first pope to resign since the year 1450. And we already mentioned Pat Monahan, lead singer of Train, is 55 years old today. And you're feeling better, Melissa? I think you were – I haven't talked to you for at least a couple of weeks. So – health check. Everybody's good up there. Y'all are spreading something around.
Well, we're in our last tech week for the show, so we open Friday.
Oh, you open this Friday?
Yep.
All right. I will be looking at the New York Times theater page for the reviews. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Thank you, Melissa, so much. Have a great
day.
Thank
you. You too.
All right. We're going to talk Wisconsin Public Schools Week right after some news and more here on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.